Jan Schneider is going to tell you now something about merging Horde Groupware together with jQuery Mobile. So, Jan, have fun.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the talk is about... Actually, it should have been before the last talk, because now I'm going to show how to actually... We started with merging or with creating jQuery Mobile interfaces for Horde, and the talk from Gunnar now was to show how to create it with a new application. What I'm going to show is how we took our existing Horde groupware and placed a new interface, for mobile devices on top of that using jQuery Mobile framework. What I'm going to try to show you during this talk and to explain to you is how Horde evolved over the years from a monolithic client, webmail client, to a modular framework, and how this evolution of Horde helped us actually creating the new jQuery Mobile interface in a very quick fashion. I'm going to show you how the what for us the main points have been that made it so easy to include jQuery Mobile into our framework and as a view on top of our groupware. Of course, I will also explain the problems that we've noticed during the integration and how we solved them. Horde has a very long history. Compared to other groupwares, compared to other PHP projects, compared to other application frameworks, because it has started already 14 years ago as a very simple webmail client. It was based on PHP 3 at the time, called IMP, Internet Messaging Program, and was created in 1998 by Chuck Hagenbuch as a webmail client for his university. At this point, it was probably the first or one of the first webmail clients in the world, and definitely the first open source webmail client. Sorry. This is how it looked like, very clunky, as the browser that you see there doesn't even exist anymore, at least not in that way. Only a year later, Chuck discovered that a lot of code that has been put into the webmail client already was suitable for general consumption as a framework or as a basis for other web applications. So what he did was to create a framework called Horde, which is a word game from the IMP name. IMP, for those not native speakers, IMPs are those small gnomes in the English language. And so he wanted to create a framework to create more applications like IMPs, so a Horde of IMPs, that's where the name comes from. Application framework is actually a bit too much. It wasn't really a framework. It was still PHP 3, and it basically consists of a number of objects. It doesn't even really use classes, but single objects for individual tasks. But it was a start. The interface didn't change. It was just two different modules, but things changed a lot with the introduction of Horde 2 a few years later. At the time, PHP 4 was state-of-the-art, which came with a lot of object-oriented features, so Horde turned into basically the first PHP object-oriented application framework. It was the father or mother of all those application frameworks that has been raised during the recent years. And it was also the first PHP framework or the first PHP application that really used MVC patterns in the application development. And already at the time, we had 20 libraries. So we've gone from a number of objects to really complete libraries with class sets, and created new applications from there. So Horde 2 came not only with a new version of the webmail client, but also with contacts management, with calendar, and stuff like that.
The design looked already a bit more modern. And a few more years later, HOR 3 came out, which was a huge step in creating more libraries, three times as much libraries like in the version before, even more modularized than the first version of the modular framework. And we started to get involved with the Peer project. For those that don't know, Peer is a package distribution tool and a website and community for the PHP language. The Peer installer is an installer that comes with every Peer with every PHP installation. And when Peer started, we contributed the first packages to the Peer repository, to the Peer community. It's similar like CPAN and Perl Word. That's how the application looked like at the time. And 2008, we had a minor version, HORDA 3.2, and I mentioned this as a milestone, even though it's not a major version of HORDA, because at that point, something interesting happened that becomes now important for the actual content of the talk. We had added two new webmail interfaces to the existing one. We added an AJAX interface that works like a desktop application with the drag and drop functionality and AJAX calls in the backend, and we created mobile interface, a very simple mobile interface for the phones at the time. There haven't been any smartphones at the time, but very simple web phones. And the crucial point is that at that point we already had modularized our framework and the applications so much and had so clear defined APIs that we have been able to add complete new interfaces on top of the existing webmail without having to break backward compatibility. So it was possible in a minor version jump to just add a new interface because we had already at this point modularized our framework and our webmail application so much. That's how the traditional webmail still looked like at that point. And this is AJAX view that had been added with HORD 3.2. You see context menus and drag and drop. And this is very simple mobile interface that it's running in a emulator, obviously. So then came last year, where we, after a lot of years of development, switched finally to PHP 5, had much more object-oriented features, more than before. The number of libraries had grown to, in the meantime, over 90 different PHP libraries. And we not only package our libraries in the Peer format, in the Peer package format, but we distribute now the complete application stack through Peer. To reach that point, we had to even further modularize the different applications. We had to define clear dependencies between the different packages, between the libraries and the applications that needs and use the libraries. And we have introduced a wide range of unit testing for the individual libraries. So we had really a lot of individual components that glued together to this groupware. And we took the webmail interfaces. We had three different interfaces at that time, the traditional interface, the AJAX interface, and the mobile interface, and we took them all back into one single webmail application, actually because we found even, during the development, we found even more code and more logic that we could abstract from the individual interfaces into a single library that we can reuse between the different interfaces. So we actually took them all back into the main webmail application. So it's now one application again, but with different views. And at the same point, we added the mobile interface based on jQuery mobile. The mobile interface that we've seen just a few minutes ago was a WML markup interface. Most of you, or some of you, may remember that that have been the very early mobile phone browser support in these days. And jQuery mobile really supports smartphones in a very nifty way. This is how the webmail and how the calendar looked like with Hort 4. So this is a complete application run on mobile screens based on jQuery mobile as a front end. It's a front end framework, and Horder as a group bear in the back end. And this year we're going to release Hort 5 with a new redesign of the interface, just as a quick look out as how it's going to be in this year. We plan to release this next month. And of course, still with the jQuery mobile interfaces. They will have new features, but that's not so important for us. For us, it's important today how to how we actually created this interface and how we glued them together with a Hort group bear. I have to probably explain this a little bit. The middle row, the blue row, is the history of Hort that developed from 1998 on. And the very top bar is the time when the prototype framework was created or existed that we used to create the dynamic AJAX interfaces, the desktop-like interfaces. At that point, can see we've seen we started at the yellow bar the development of our AJAX interface, and at that point we had to decide which AJAX framework do we want to need. At the very bottom, the red bar, this is where jQuery started to develop. So we started actually at the same time when jQuery was created, and this was just too early to really use jQuery at the time. So we had to look for a different AJAX framework, and we picked the prototype framework. And I'm mentioning this because this, of course, caused a few conflicts later when we actually started to implement the mobile interfaces with a different AJAX framework, with a jQuery framework. So how to actually create standard jQuery mobile applications? You've just heard from Gunnar how that works in our case, but this is now first how to do this a traditional way, or how it's supposed to be if you read the introduction steps from the jQuery mobile website. A jQuery application is basically a HTML5 document where you load some CSS files and some JavaScript files from the jQuery mobile framework, and then you enter some markup, and then the magic kicks in with the jQuery JavaScript files actually generating the complex and very beautiful looking interfaces from your simple markup. The markup is really simple. This is how an individual page looks like in a jQuery application. A jQuery application consists of several pages, which are parts of a single document. So you point your browser to your jQuery mobile application, you load exactly one document, and all the views, all the pages that you see by clicking through the application or by swiping pages away are individual layers, diff layers, inside this single document. Each of these pages is marked up with a data role equals page attribute and consists of a few elements like the navigation header that we've already seen, or the content area. You link between these pages with just simple HTML links. This could be like in the first link that has a content next page. This could be the ID of a different page inside the same jQuery document. So if you have not only one page like this one, but a second page, and you give that, you name that page page 2, then you can link from the first page to the second page just by pointing to the ID. Everything else is doing magically by the jQuery framework. You can also link to external pages. That's what the second link does. So if you want to show a page that's not part of the initial jQuery mobile document, you can load new content from the server. What happens is that jQuery mobile catches a click on that link. It redirects it, calls the external source with AJAX, and inserts the content that is returned by the web server into your existing document. So you're not actually going to do to a different page on the browser. For the browser, it's still the same page. But for jQuery Mobile, it's a new page that's being loaded in the backend, in the backend from the server, and inserted into the existing document. These pages are, from the browser's point of view or from jQuery's point of view, static pages. It could be plain HTML pages, even HTML fragments just containing such data role page HTML snippets, but it's static. Of course, you could, on the server, generate the HTML content in a dynamic way if you call a page PHP script, but from the client's point of view, this is just a static HTML page. The last thing that jQuery does after loading the page, it's going to update the URL hash in the browser. Each page, since we stay in the same document, in the same page, not on the same page, but in the same document in the browser, you have to somehow identify the different pages inside this document, and jQuery Mobile does this by adding URL hashes. And this way, it manages the history between the pages. So if you click the back button on the browser, you really get back to the last page because of these URL hashes. This was, well, this is the traditional approach, how you generally use or how you generally create a jQuery mobile application. We could have done that, of course. We could have called static pages from the server generated by PHP, but still delivering HTML content. So we would have controller scripts or some scripts on the server that generates the application list or the folder list or the list of messages, and have that content generated by these scripts inserted into the jQuery mobile application. This would actually be possible quite easy because we already have that MVC pattern. We have a general logic for all webmail interfaces that we have. We just have different views, and we could have just added a new view that uses the same logic but delivers different content to the jQuery mobile application. The advantage of this traditional approach is that you can use a browser degrading feature that jQuery Mobile offers. What is browser degrading? The idea is that, they call it ABC level browsers that they support. So they have some very modern browsers on modern smartphones and modern desktop browsers that support everything. They support AJAX, they support CSS 3, they support transitions, all the stuff that jQuery actually uses. And it still supports browsers with fewer features. And it automatically degrades the interface and the interface features depending on the browser that currently uses this application. So if you use a very basic browser that doesn't know AJAX, it would just call static HTML pages from the server and won't use any AJAX features, for example. So this is the approach that you... This is the browser-degrading feature that you could use if you use static pages when loading HTML content into the jQuery mobile application. And it's actually easier to implement because in the best case, if you have a really strict separation between the application logic and the different views of your application, then all you have to do is exchange the templates. You create a new template that doesn't generate a full desktop-like application with the template that generates the diff layers for jQuery mobile applications. But it also has disadvantages, and that's why we didn't use this approach. For one thing, you have an overhead because you generate complete HTML code. You don't transfer content from the or data from the server to the client, but you transfer actually complete interfaces, which doesn't make much sense. You couldn't benefit from client-side caching if you do that way. This is especially important for the webmail client or for our webmail client that we created with jQuery Mobile. Imagine the situation: you are going to a mailbox. You have a list of your messages, and you click on one of the messages. The message opens, and you do anything with it. You delete it, or you go back to the mailbox. And at the same time, or during the time that if you read the message, a new message arrived. If you're going to use this traditional approach, you would notice because the old page is already loaded in the browser, and the history of the browser just loads the old page, the old mailbox, and you won't get any new message delivered to this mailbox. You could work around that by not having the browser handle the back, going back in the history, but instead, if you want to go back, you make a new request. But then again, you have a new request with every page change on the smartphone. There's a lot of traffic going on between the client and the server, and again, no client-side caching. And of course, you're already using AJAX anyway. The jQuery Mobile is using AJAX to load the content, so why not reuse this AJAX framework that already exists and it's already being used, and instead get JSON data back from the server. And that's exactly what we did. We created the application by making a big document, a big jQuery mobile document with markup of individual pages with no content. So if you load the basic HTML from our smart mobile interface, you have all the pages already there for folder listings, for message listings, for the individual messages, for compose views. This all exists already in the individual document that's loaded exactly once from the server, and is completely empty, so they are really skeletons. In Horde 4, the current stable version, we didn't have any links in the interface. We had elements that could be clicked, but these haven't been links. Instead, we registered one big event handler that listened on the document for clicks. Actually, it's a vClick handler, which means virtual click. So this covers all the clicks that could happen in such an application, like a touch event in a smartphone or a real click event with a mouse in a desktop browser. I'm now going a bit into the coding stuff. So if you're more interested in the general design, then take a short nap. Everybody interested in code should watch now more carefully. What we do is, after getting this click event, is to change the page manually. You can do this. This is a call. This $ mobile change page is a API function from the jQuery mobile framework. You do that to switch between the different pages inside the jQuery application. So we're loading a new page. Then we send an AJAX request to our server. And what we get back from the server is a JSON response. So we have the pure data without any markup, and just insert the data into our empty skeletons. This changed a little bit with Horde 5. because in Hort 5 we have now real links. So every time you have an active element like a message subject where you can click to load the message or a button to compose a new message, these are real links. And actually, these are links in the jQuery mobile world. Since you have you stay always on the same page, you just update the URL part after the hash. So that's, for example, a link that links to an individual message in the inbox with the unique ID 2115. And what we do is no longer observe the click event, but we listen on the page before change event, with which is triggered each time the jQuery mobile application changes to a new page. We intercept that page loading, and this is what happens in the two-page function. The two-page function is our own event handler for the page before change event, and what it does is to take the URL that has been triggered or that should have been loaded, parse the URL. This is what happens in Hort Mobile, parse URL. And what it actually does is to take the URL that is displayed in the first row and takes it apart. It sees that we are going to load the message page, and it uses the query parameters, the get query parameters, and passes them out of the URL. And depending on the view that's being requested, we now switch to different, or we delegate the further processing to different methods. In this case, for example, we want to intervene the message query, the message link, and we call imp mobile to message with the options, with the URL that we just parsed. And the most important thing is the e-prevent default call. E is the actual event that has been triggering our method. And with prevent default, we stop the further event heading at this point. So no, usually what jQuery Mobile would do is to load a URL that's called message. It couldn't find that because it's a virtual URL that we made up. So we have to stop the further processing at the time. We don't let jQuery Mobile actually load that page. Instead, we do this ourselves. This is a to-message method or function that's being called. We do a quick check if we already have the message page displayed. If you remember, we have all the pages that make up our application already in the document. We have the mailbox, we have the message, and so on. So we need to see, or we need to check what the user currently sees. So if he already sees the message, all we do is to update the hash in the browser URL. So we update the history, the browser history. And if necessary, we call mobile change page, which switches to the page that has been just requested, and let jQuery Mobile do the rest. So jQuery Mobile is still responsible for switching between the different pages and showing page transitions and stuff like that. Since we're going to do now a jQuery an AJAX call, it may take some time. We're also showing the loading spinner that jQuery Mobile provides. This is a mobile show page loading message call. And finally, what we do is now the same like we did in Hort 4. We trigger the AJAX call, in this case the show message call, which is being handled on the back end, and register a message, an AJAX handler that's being called after the data returned from the AJAX endpoint. What we then do is, again, the same. We take this data and update our skeletons of the individual pages with the content that we just received. This approach has a few advantages over the original approach that we use in Hort 4, because it works with any kind of way how you could load a page in a jQuery mobile application. There are different ways. You can use the interface just by clicking on the links on the individual elements that would call a new page. You can do it programmatically. So, for example, if you have some event in your application or, I don't know, anything that you could do on the application level, this is also triggering the same page loading mechanism if you call the change page method manually. And finally, it works with deep links. Since we update the URL hash with every page loading with a URL that we at least understand, even if jQuery Mobile doesn't understand it, we have now deep links. So we can bookmark an individual message, or you can reload your smartphone browser and still get back to the very view. You still have to remember this is a single page in the terms of the browser. Just for jQuery Mobile, it's individual pages. But if you reload a page, you would usually end up with the first view of the application. But since we support now deep links, you can dive right into a message that might be 2, 3, 4 levels deep into your application. This is, of course, not so interesting for a webmail application, but if you create a mobile application for your website, for example, then you want to support deep links. This is a very, very nice and very smart way to support deep links with a jQuery mobile application. You've seen that, if I go back here, the very last call is this whole the mobile do action call is actually triggering an AJAX request in the backend of the Hort groupware, and it's calling the show message method. And this is of course possible because we already have the an existing AJAX API. We already have an AJAX application, the dynamic imp. Which is run usually in the desktop browser. So we already have the complete AJAX API to manage a webmail application. So we're just reusing this existing API and call it from a different JavaScript browser or JavaScript client. And we have methods there for everything that you usually use for a mail client, like mailbox loading, message loading, mailbox message composition, sending, redirecting, forwarding, citing existing messages, and drafts management, and everything already existed. So we just had to implement it once in the interface, in the jQuery mobile interface, and just call the existing methods. It was a very quick way of getting this application done. So what made it easy? It was easy. That's a key point. It was very easy and very quick to create a complete new view, a complete mobile webmail interface just with the stuff we already had, and added top on that the jQuery mobile. Why was it so easy? It was easy because we at that point already had a very modular framework that we used to create our existing application with a strict separation of the actual views of the different applications and the back-end logic. And we had already proved that our model is very flexible, since we have already been able to create 3 different views for the very same application. So we already had a webmail application with views for an AJAX browser, for an old term browser, and for a simple mobile browser, and now we just added another 4th interface for smartphones. And the 3rd thing that made this integration so easy was that we had already a set of APIs that had evolved over the years and that were very stable. We had APIs between the different Hort applications that intercommunicate with each other. We had APIs between the applications and the libraries. And finally, we had this AJAX API that we already used to talk from the browser, from the JavaScript application on the browser to the server in the backend. Of course, there were a few problems during the development, but much fewer than we actually expected. The main problem was the conflict, and now it goes back to the timeline that I showed you at the beginning of the talk, where we had to switch, or we had to pick a prototype in the beginning as the JavaScript framework that we are going to use in our applications. But now we had to use jQuery because of the jQuery mobile interface. This causes conflicts that could be solved from jQuery with using the jQuery no conflict call. For anybody who already knows jQuery, you probably know what this means or what it does. It tries to avoid conflicts between the different JavaScript frameworks, but this is not a solution for us because we are running on smartphone devices, and those are, even though they are very good computers already, they are still very low on resources compared to a desktop application or to a desktop computer. So we can't simply load two complete JavaScript frameworks into the smartphone for obvious reasons. It would just overload the browser and it would take too long, and so we had to pick one framework, and that's already a lot to load. So how did we solve that? Actually, with workarounds. There is a solution, but not a short-term or a quick solution. So we had to work around it. The good news was that the most of the JavaScript code that we used from the prototype framework was to generate the interface. And the interface generation is actually exactly what jQuery or jQuery Mobile is doing. So we didn't have a need for this massive amount of prototype code anymore. We could just leave it away. And the few code snippets that still needed to be on the client side for the logic, like generating the correct calls to the AJAX backend and stuff like that, that we had to port from prototype to jQuery. It's not the most beautiful solution, but it worked because it was a rather small amount of code. And there are a few other things that you had to take care of that are different between prototype and jQuery, like this secure token, but that's details. This would be the solution, not the workaround. Prototype is a great framework for creating JavaScript applications. It's really an application framework. While on the other hand, jQuery and also jQuery Mobile is a great framework for creating designs, for creating a user interface. And the real solution would be if prototype would merge with jQuery, because then you have all the power of JavaScript framework prototype at the hand and in combination with the jQuery user interface capabilities. But that's just me dreaming. I'm afraid this won't happen anytime soon. So let's remind the original questions that we had for this talk. I showed you how Horde evolved over the years from a simple PHP 3 monolithic webmail application to a modular framework with a lot of separate libraries, with a number of applications and different views for the applications. And this helped us creating just another view on top of it, because we could reuse all the existing APIs, and we could use the multi-view architecture that we already established to have different views. And the main points, or the things that made it easy for us and that made this new view a success story, was the modularity, the flexibility, and those APIs that I explained earlier. The problems we experienced are actually only two problems. First is that jQuery Mobile is more focused on loading static pages from the server and inserting them into the document. This is not our approach of coding. This is not how we develop applications. We just exchange the data, like a standard application that you install on your smartphone. It's also exchanging just pure data with a with a service that it uses and doesn't exchange interfaces. And the other problem was a conflicting JavaScript frameworks prototype in jQuery, and we solved it by dropping and ditching prototype at least for this single interface, and just have a bit of code duplication by transforming code from prototype to jQuery. And we solved the static page loading problem by intercepting the page before change event in jQuery mobile and do the actual page loading ourselves. So this is how we managed to get jQuery mobile on top of Horde groupware in, I think we took only 1 or 2 months for that. So any questions?
You've shown the screenshot for the next Horde generation. It was version 5, I think.
Yep.
Did you also write this new UI with this jQuery mobile for desktop, or did you choose another framework for this?
No, we're still using prototype for all the Ajax applications and for all the JavaScript applications. We could at least when we start or when I started to implement the jQuery mobile interface and started to really dive deep into jQuery code, I had the expectation that after I have this done, I want to switch completely from prototype to jQuery, but actually I missed too much features from prototype. We have so much application code written in JavaScript that just can't be done with jQuery that we won't go away or get away from prototype soon.
Okay. Any more questions? Okay, then thanks, Jan, for that nice overview.
Thank you for listening.
And so